today at the Women's March because Donald Trump is normalizing indecency.
I'm here to support my trans son.
I'm not all against him, but when it comes to our LGBT and women, yes, I'm against him.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Trans people will finally count for something in Pakistan. Poland's president rejects civil marriage equality, and women walk all over Trump's agenda. Those stories and more this week, now that you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Frances O'Brien.
And I'm Danny Cruz.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending January 28, 2017. The sixth national census in Pakistan's history this March will count transgender people for the first time. Trans activist Waqar Ali filed a petition with the Lahore High Court last November charging that the South Asian nation's transgender community had been marginalized and denied fundamental rights. Including them in the sixth national census, she argued, would be a good first step toward recognition and improving their lives. Chief Justice Saeed Mansour Ali Shah agreed and ordered the federal government, the National Database and Registration Authority, and the Ministry of Interior to include the transgender community in the census. Transgender people were told to identify themselves as disabled in previous censuses.
While many transgender people in Pakistan still live in poverty, their civil rights have gradually improved in recent years. A 2011 Supreme Court ruling allowed transgender people to get identity cards showing their gender as other rather than male or female. They were also specifically given the right to vote. The following year, they were granted the right to inherit property and assets.
Times have definitely changed, but the government is a bit late in complying with the federal law that requires a census every 10 years. The last census in Pakistan was conducted in 1998. Some predict that the new count of the country's population, thought to be the world's sixth largest, will have grown by more than 50%. A Pakistani advocacy group, TransAction, believes that about 500,000 transgender people live in the country.
Polish President Andrzej Duda asked during a national radio interview this week if he thought civil marriage equality would ever come to his country, said that, unequivocally, marriage in accordance with the Polish constitution is a union between a man and a woman. He told broadcaster Republika that, I don't think that the political majority today would agree to any amendment to the constitution in this area. The president's Law and Justice Party has promoted oppressive anti-LGBT policies for many years, including being against so-called active homosexuals teaching school. According to Pink News, like its regional neighbors Bulgaria, Latvia, Lithuania, Romania, and Slovakia, Poland offers neither civil marriage nor civil partnerships to its same-gender couples.
The Armed Forces of the Philippines announced this week that LGBT enlistees are welcome to volunteer for service as long as they act and behave with dignity and with proper care, said Chief of Public Affairs Colonel Edgard Arevalo. This is a noble profession, he added. The announcement also promised to protect out soldiers, sailors, and Marines from discrimination. Exactly what constitutes proper behavior wasn't specified. The new policy is part of the military's more inclusive effort to enlist 10,000 new recruits by the end of the year.
In other news, expressions of LGBT pride in the Arctic Circle have been banned. Activists in the Salekhard region of Vladimir Putin's Russia had planned the event for the end of January. Local officials cited the national law that bans the so-called promotion of homosexuality whenever minors could be present, saying that such a gathering would be harmful to children's health and development. Organizers of Polar Pride said that about 300 people had been expected to attend. There is one other place in the Arctic Circle that hosts an LGBT Pride celebration. The Norwegian town of Tromsø celebrates the world's northernmost pride in November. Its 10-day festival also gives crowds the chance to bask in the northern light.
The U.S. state of Utah has its own no-promo-homo law, It bans supportive discussions of LGBT people in public school curricula, classroom instruction, and student clubs. A provision cryptically outlaws advocacy of homosexuality. The LGBT groups Equality Utah and the National Center for Lesbian Rights jointly filed suit in federal court this week demanding a preliminary injunction on enforcement of those laws. They challenged the constitutionality of the laws themselves in a separate suit in October. The three plaintiffs are all Utah students. One is a boy in kindergarten who was ridiculed, burned on a hot metal slide, and beaten up by other students for wearing dresses. Administrators told the boy's mother that the law kept them from telling other kids that it was okay to be gay or gender variant. Attorneys for the plaintiffs argue that the laws create a chilling culture of silence that stigmatizes LGBTQ students and tells gay students that their sexual orientation is less valid than that of heterosexual students, and thus that they themselves are less valued. Utah officials claim that the state's school board should be immune from such lawsuits. At least eight other states have similar no-promo-homo laws.
Meanwhile, the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, or EEOC, is suing a restaurant in Scottsdale, Arizona, for creating hostile work environments for a gay employee and an employee whom fellow workers thought was gay. The lawsuit alleges that the two waiters were repeatedly called faggot and sissy and sometimes physically assaulted by coworkers. When they reported the treatment to supervisors, they were told not to complain, lost tables and therefore tips, and were ultimately fired. The lawsuit seeks back pay and punitive damages. The EEOC has, since 2015 under the Obama administration, interpreted provisions in the Civil Rights Act of 1964 that ban sex discrimination to also ban bias based on sexual orientation and gender identity. While the EEOC is an independent agency, its members are chosen by the president. Donald Trump is expected to make at least two high-level appointments to the commission during his term. There's been no comment as yet from the White House about this week's EEOC lawsuit.
The Trump administration got off to a flying, though not very LGBT-friendly, start this week, the 45th U.S. president's first full week in office. Thanks to an executive order Trump issued on January 27th, LGBT refugees fleeing ISIS death squads in Syria and Iraq will no longer find refuge in the United States. Citizens of Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen are also barred from entering the country. The move appears to be fulfilling a Trump campaign promise to ban all Muslims from entering the U.S. It's worth noting, however, that none of the violent jihadists who launched attacks in the U.S., starting with 9/11 and including the Boston Marathon bombing and the Pulse massacre in Orlando, came from any of those countries.
Another Trump executive order this week bans federal funding of international health organizations that provide abortion services. Activists and educators charge that the gag order will directly impact clinics in Kenya and Ethiopia that are among the few places in those countries that offer HIV/AIDS education. Dr. Amesh A. Adalja, a board-certified infectious disease physician at the University of Pittsburgh, told the Self.com website that this gag rule has the potential to severely curtail the path we're on to end the epidemic. It's bad public policy that can have a serious impact on the lives of people.
Trump's first address to Congress will even disrupt the scheduled four-night broadcast on ABC of When We Rise, a much-anticipated TV miniseries about the U.S. LGBT rights movement. It's written by Oscar-winning Milk screenwriter Dustin Lance Black and stars Guy Pearce, Mary Louise Parker, Rachel Griffiths, Ivory Aquino, Carrie Preston, Michael Kenneth Williams, and Jonathan Majors. Whoopi Goldberg, Rosie O'Donnell, and David Hyde Pierce are among the guest stars. Milk director Gus Van Sant helmed the first two-hour episode. When We Rise was set to run on four consecutive nights from February 27th through March 2nd. But Trump scheduled his first congressional address for February 28th, which every major TV network will be covering. So tune in for the first episode of When We Rise on February 27th. You'll then have to wait until March 1st through 3rd to see the rest of it.
And when asked directly by Chris Johnson of the LGBT Washington Blade newspaper earlier this week, Trump Press Secretary Sean Spicer said he doesn't know if the president plans to rescind Barack Obama's executive order protecting LGBT federal workers from discrimination.
But finally, Barack Obama used his last day in office to issue a presidential memorandum to the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Service that will help transgender people entering the country. Statements from foreign doctors will now be accepted to verify an immigrant's chosen gender if that person wants to amend their official documents. A former officer who was jailed by the Army for being gay was among dozens of people who received pardons from the president during his last week in office. The man had been unable to find work because his conviction made him a felon. The comprehensive section on LGBT rights maintained by the Obama administration has been disappeared from the WhiteHouse.gov website, as were sections on women's rights and climate change. The site now has just six sections, all promoting Trump and his policy positions: America First Energy Plan, America First Foreign Policy, Bringing Back Jobs and Growth, Making Our Military Strong Again, Trade Deals Working for All Americans, and Standing Up for Our Law Enforcement Community.
That's News Wrap for the week ending January 28th, 2017, produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Frances O'Brien.
And I'm Danny Cruz.
Follow your favorite international LGBT radio show on Twitter at TWO Radio, read our blog at twopodcast.blogspot.com, and check out our fan page at facebook.com/thiswayoutradio. There are also links to all three at thiswayout.org.
Women take to the streets around the world for one of the largest global progressive demonstrations in history. But first, a master of fantasy and his story.
James Whale and his pictures, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. British-born theater and film director James Whale expressed an early interest in art. He learned to stage plays while a prisoner in World War I. In 1930, after having moved to the States, he met handsome assistant story editor David Lewis in Hollywood. They openly shared a home in Pacific Palisades for 20 years. Whale is known for directing horror films such as Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, and The Invisible Man, which were all blockbuster hits for Universal Pictures. Whale retired in comfort and pursued his first love, painting. A stroke left him depleted, and he committed suicide in 1957. The 1998 film Gods and Monsters depicted a fictional account of Whale's final days. The role of James Whale was played by out actor Ian McKellen. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, John Porter.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis.
I'm Margaret Cho.
This is Edmund White.
Hi, I'm Kate Clinton.
Hello, I'm Armistead Maupin.
I'm Clive Barker.
This is Judy Shepard.
Hello, this is Ian McKellen.
I'm Joey Jewell.
I'm Stephen Fry.
I'm Harvey Milk.
Hi, this is Janice Ian.
My name's Robbie Rogers.
This is Essex Hemphill.
I'm Ellen DeGeneres.
I'm Tab Hunter.
I'm Billy Bean.
This is John Cameron Mitchell.
Hello, I'm Bruce Valange.
This is Bishop Gene Robinson.
I'm Robbie Kaplan.
I'm Andrew Sullivan.
This is Augustine Burroughs.
I'm Barney Frank.
I'm Cleve Jones.
My name is Kate Kendall.
I'm Dan Savage.
Hi, I'm Daryl Stevens. And you've discovered
This Way Out.
This Way Out.
This Way Out.
The international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities.
How dare they?
And those who love them.
You ain't gonna get this nowhere else.
And that's the truth.
When I blithely jumped onto a downtown bus to go to the January 21st Women's March in Los Angeles, the stressed and confused driver told me the routes were all on emergency detour, It seems that the incredible size of the march had thrown LA Metro into a panic. Who knew that some 750,000 supposedly lazy Southern Californians would show up, or that nationwide, 1 in 10 people in the U.S. would respond to the call? With the help of some march-bound compatriots I met along the way, I finally made it to a subway stop several blocks away from the rally site to find the streets mobbed in every direction with women, their families, and more than a few male allies, all intent on making their opposing voices heard the day after Donald Trump was inaugurated President of the United States. If it's like this in L.A., what must it be like in Washington, I wondered. Fortunately, a couple of friends made it there.
To our nation's capital began in Los Angeles, where we boarded a plane full of like-minded women headed to the Women's March on Washington. I'm Pam Marshall.
And I'm Chris Wilson. Even with multiple extra trains running, we found ourselves crammed, standing room only, into the D.C. metro system in order to get to the march. The metro had a record-setting ridership eclipsed only by the 2009 inauguration of President Obama.
And so we arrived, greeted by a sea of women and men holding signs supportive of everything from Obamacare, reproductive rights, and inclusivity, with many specifically supporting the rights of the LGBTQIA community.
Of course, there were many of the familiar pink hats that have become a hallmark of the multiple women's marches that were held in solidarity around the world the same day.
And it was the only day that weekend when it didn't rain in D.C. We saw one woman with a large sign for trans equality and asked her why she was marching.
I'm here to support my trans son so that the Trump administration will have been noticed that these people have rights. And also there are a tremendous amount of trans community members are in dire needs of health care, as well as mental health care, different from just the medical health care, because 40% of transgender community at least once attempt suicide, and it's a tremendous amount of mental health care is needed. And Obamacare had really supported this community and providing them to have a better medical care and a mental care. And that we're very concerned that particular care will go with the current administration.
Although the mood was positive and inclusive, there were clearly members of the LGBT community who had something to say about the new president, including this woman from Iowa.
I am here today at the Women's March because Donald Trump is normalizing indecency. He is indecent to women in grabbing pussies. He commits sexual assault, grabbing pussies, in kissing women who don't want to be kissed, and walking in on girls who are dressing in a dressing room. He believes in the sale of women. He believes in the categorizing women by a number. He is indecent, and he is teaching young men and boys to be indecent. He is not a leader. He is a narcissist, and he does not belong in his position.
And he is not our president. And we got all the way from Iowa just to say that.
And some who shared a different opinion.
Not all against Trump. I'm not all against him. But when it comes to our LGBT and women's, yes, I'm against him.
As a trans person, what are your thoughts on the possibilities of having your rights repealed?
First of all, it will take them a long time to repeal, even if they want to. But listen, Republicans are not stupid. There are some Republicans that are extremists. They really don't want LGBT people. Some of them have started being educated. Because I went to Trump inauguration yesterday, and I told them what I am, and people were like, they weren't attacking me, they were not, they say, it's your choice. So we respect that. So, you know, a lot of LGBT people were at the Trump, not a lot, but quite a few. So we're at the inauguration yesterday. Kylie Jenner is trans, she voted Republican. And some others, I mean, LGBT people vote for Trump, some of them. If they think that they're going to repeal that, those people are not going to vote for Trump again, or even Republican. Because once you fuck with our rights, you're wrong, and they're going to think twice about doing it.
The march followed a more than four-hour rally with a host of activists, celebrities, and musicians representing diverse communities and celebrating intersectional feminism. There's not enough time to bring you the heartfelt words and musical performances that emanated from the stage, but the New York Times has posted video of the entire rally that you can view in its entirety at bit.ly/premarchrally.
Even before the rally ended, the larger-than-expected crowd spilled into the parade route and even filled adjacent streets. Despite the chilly weather, there was a strong spirit of camaraderie between young and old, gay and straight, women and men, immigrants and native-born. And spontaneous chants kept the marchers engaged.
Saw only three anti-march protesters as we walked along the route. We're not certain of their exact message, but their concerns seemed to be that the marchers were going to hell. As they had their say through the bullhorns they carried, the marchers surrounded them with the gentle words, "Love is love."
Love is love!
Love is love! Love is love! Love is love!
Love is love!
Love is love!
Love
is love! Love is
The Women's March on Washington inspired many others around the country and around the world, from Omaha to Dublin, Nairobi to Antarctica. What began with a grandmother in Hawaii who had an idea became a major global event.
The official webpage for the march reports over 5 million marchers around the world, with a million of them in Washington, D.C. It was indeed inspiring to be there.
But a march alone cannot achieve political objectives. The official website, www.womensmarch.com, is encouraging those who participated to continue their activism by communicating with their elected representatives and holding them accountable.
Also, to keep the momentum going, there are various groups planning more marches throughout the coming year.
For This Way Out, I'm Pam Marshall.
And I'm Chris Wilson.
We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. We who believe in freedom. Oh, no, 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 no. We who believe cannot rest until it comes. Well, now. We who believe. We who believe in freedom cannot we rest. Believe. Every day we when we wake up in the morning, we're able to exercise choice. We cannot rest.
We
until we all have that choice, that God-given choice to exercise, we cannot rest.
Until it comes.
Until the killing of black men, black
mother sons is as important as the killing of a white man. A white mother sons. Oh, we who believe in freedom.
We believe in freedom cannot rest.
Cannot we who believe in freedom.
We believe in freedom cannot rest.
Tell you that which touches me most is that I had the chance to work with people, and I'm passing on to others that which was passed on to me. Woe to me, young people come first. They have the courage where we fail. And if I could but shed some light as they carry us through the gale. Come on now, we who believe in freedom.
Believe in freedom cannot rest.
We who believe in freedom.
We believe in freedom cannot rest.
I tell you, struggling myself don't mean a whole lot. I've come to realize that teaching others to stand and fight, it is the only way our struggle survives. I'm a woman who speaks in a voice, and I must be heard. At times I can be quite difficult. I'll bow to no man's word. Come on now, we who believe in freedom.
We believe in freedom cannot rest.
Oh no, no, we who believe in freedom.
We believe in freedom cannot rest.
One more time now.
We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe.
We who believe in freedom.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Francis O'Brien, Danny Cruz, Judd Proctor, and Brian Burns with John Porter, and Chris Wilson and Pam Marshall contributed program material, with double thanks this week to Steve Pride. Pussy Riot and Sweet Honey in the Rock performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the Estate of Christopher David Trentum, the Gay Chemist Support Fund of Horizons Foundation, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our individual listener donors who have made this program possible. It's never too late to log in to thiswayout.org and join the family. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google+. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Lucia Chappelle. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WPRR Grand Rapids, Michigan, KPOV Bend, Oregon, 5RRR Woomera, South Australia, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Now y'all stay tuned.